degrees.
Here at the station?
Yes.
All right.
Because the wonder of electronics, right?
Right.
Do you realize that this is the final Saturday special of calendar year 2007?
Holy smokes, it is, huh?
It sort of chokes you up, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, what a year it's been of Saturday specials. Oh, my God. I just don't. Anyhow, let's start the show up officially here, okay? Okay, let's.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time. We've got tunes. We've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go. It's today, you know, on KSVO Radio.
Okay, I guess everybody's done their holiday shopping, right? Oh, I know there's some wise guys out there who always wait till after Christmas to go do their shopping so that they could buy everything at half price, but it doesn't always work out that way, does it? Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Saturday special. As I said, the final Saturday special of the calendar year 2007 on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. We're going to have fun for the next 2 hours. Stay with us.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
And that special fanfare music signals a special guest for the Saturday special. And who might that be? We did a little live promo yesterday during the noon balloon that we're gonna have a really special guest and a really special topic, a surprise guest and surprise topic. And there's no promo this week because if we would have made a promo, it wouldn't be a surprise. So let's welcome the guest. Your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. Hello, guest.
Hello, Michael.
How in the world are you?
Phenomenal.
You recognize that voice. I don't think I have to tell you who that is, because people who listen to the radio station regularly know that that's Doc Wallach himself, host of the Dead Doctors Don't Lie radio program, which we pioneered on KSCO, golly, in 1996. September of 1996, and you've been doing it every day since then.
You know, isn't that amazing?
Every single weekday since then. Doc, how you been? Everything good?
Everything is phenomenal, Mike.
Super, you know, good 2007, huh?
Oh, I had a fabulous 2007,
mm-hmm.
And it's amazing. Gave my standard 300 lectures around the world and meeting people all over the world, and people are people regardless of where they're from.
You know, when you first told me that you do 300 lectures a year, I thought that's got to be an exaggeration. It just can't, no one can do that. And in getting to know you, that's exactly what you do. In fact, if anything, you do more than that. It's unbelievable.
On occasion, I will do more than that, but never less.
But anyhow, and you're out with a new book. Golly, so how many is that in all now? You've done...
Well, books written for the public, it's 11. Uh-huh. I have, when you count where I've done major contributions to textbooks, about 15 textbooks, several of which I'm the only author. Some of them are 1,200 pages. They're not the sort of thing that a person would curl up around a fire and read like a novel.
Oh my gosh! But the kind that people would curl up. I don't know. We're going to be talking.
Yeah, it's 11. I believe 11. Uh-huh.
Right, and the latest one is called The Energy Crisis.
Energy Crisis.
Well,
that's correct.
What's that all about? Is it about the what people were complaining about 32, 33 years ago with the gas lines and
people might think that, and of course even the cover shows a guy in front of a gas gauge with the needle on empty. So you might think that it has to do with fuel and energy like electricity and propane and natural gas and oil and things of that nature. But really, it's written about the energy crisis in humanity. As a physician, 85% of the people who would come to see me, and I'm sure this is true of all other physicians, if they're not coming for a specific disease you've already seen them for, or a broken leg, or they're bleeding, or something of that nature, They come in, and you haven't seen them in a while, and you say, okay, Frank, what you here for today? And they'll say, well, I don't know, Doc. I just don't have any energy. I wake up, I'm more tired when I went to sleep and have to take a nap in the afternoon. I just drag it around, just can't seem to get up and going. And that's what I call the energy crisis. And for about 3 years, I've been kind of tinkering around, digging up pieces on energy, how the body manufactures energy, uses it, stores it, the fuels the body can use to create energy, and the history of energy and energy supplements in human beings. I've been kind of accumulating that for 3 years. And then events took over, and I was forced to publish this book probably a year or two before I had expected to.
Forced to publish a book?
Yes.
What's that all about?
Well, sometimes events take over, and you have to go with the flow. It's like when you're surfing. If you just sit there and the big wave comes by, you just get a little 3-inch lift and nothing happens. When you see that wave coming, you better be paddling like a rabid duck so that you get the crest of the wave, and then you can stand up and do the hang 10 and all that stuff.
Okay.
And so the wave I saw, of course, was the energy drink industry, which has really taken over and displaced the soft drink industry for people underneath 25 years of age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've only been paying attention to that for the last 5 or 6 months or so, and it's astounding to me how much shelf space energy drinks are given in convenience stores and supermarkets everywhere. And these are not inexpensive. These are like, you know, $3 and more, a lot of them.
$3 for 8.3 ounces. And I did my little survey, and I do this. People don't realize all the background stuff we do to be able to say the things that we do, Michael. And about 20 years ago, when I first started getting interested in what kids were drinking because of the carbonation and all the problems with absorption of nutrients when you drink a carbonated drink with a meal or when you take supplements, and the sugar that's in there and the weight gain and the ADD and the ADHD, all the stuff that's attributable to the consumption of many, many soft drinks each day.
You've been saying that for years.
Oh, yeah.
And only recently have other people started saying that.
Yeah, we started talking about that, Michael, 20 years ago. And I used to go and look in the trash cans and the dumpsters behind grade schools and junior high schools and middle schools and high schools and community colleges. And 20 years ago, the trash cans and the dumpsters were filled with Coca-Cola cans and bottles and Pepsi-Cola and Dr. Pepper and 7-Up and Sprite and things of that nature. Well, when you go look in the trash cans and the dumpsters behind these schools today, 95% of the cans and bottles in there are from energy drinks. You see very few soft drinks anymore.
Doc, where do people get the money? I mean, these things are way more expensive than soft drinks.
Yes. Well, kids get their allowance, and it's disposable money with them because obviously they don't have to pay rent and they don't have to pay utilities. And so they give up buying clothes and things of that nature, and they go to a few less movies because now you can watch, you know, they get the movie channels on TV. They can do that at home, or they can rent a DVD from one of these DVD rental places for a couple of bucks a week and so on. And so they're watching movies at home much cheaper than going out and buying popcorn. You know, they'll spend $15 to go to a movie, but they can do it for $3 at home. And they use that extra money to buy their energy drinks.
Okay. Well, I guess that makes sense. And, and since I've been paying attention, I'm amazed at how many people are literally addicted. I mean, addicted like heroin.
And, of course, some of them are pretty sophisticated. One of the energy drinks that is addictive, of course, is the Starbucks coffee. Mm-hmm. People don't really consider that or understand it, but it is one of the original energy drinks consumed by people on a mass scale.
Sure.
And this is some of the information we have in the book, Energy Crisis, and there's actually an accompanying CD with it by the same title. And I went back and started looking, when did people first started using energy supplements and energy drinks? It goes back to 10,000 B.C., Michael.
What?
10,000 B.C., people were consciously using ginseng. The Chinese and the pharaohs of Egypt were using ginseng and herbs, other herbs. And in South America, 12,000 years ago, they were using guarana. which is also known as Brazilian chocolate. And when the Spanish first stepped foot on the western part of North and South America, the Incas were using chocolate or cocoa as an energy drink, because there's lots of theobromine and caffeine in chocolate. And so they were using chocolate in 1521 when the Spanish arrived, and it was a new introduction to a new energy drink to the Spanish, who were already using tea and ginseng and so forth.
Hmm. Wow. Did you have any idea?
No. I had no idea. And when we started the search, like I say, about 3 years ago, and one of the most fun ones is everybody knows Daniel Boone is a great American frontiersman.
Mm-hmm.
But that was after he already had become a millionaire. And Daniel Boone had become a millionaire as an herbalist. Most people don't know that. I didn't know it. You always think of Daniel Boone running around in his coonskin cap and his leathers with a fringe and his old Betsy, you know.
But that was after he could afford to do
that's
that.
That's after he could afford to be running. He had time and money to be the frontiersman. And he made his money harvesting wild American ginseng and selling it to the Chinese, because they were willing to pay a lot of money for it, because they already knew the value of ginseng from their history in China going back 10,000 B.C. And so he found this little niche market, and in a period of, I don't know, about 5 years, he made multi-millions of dollars.
I had no idea. And what year was that, would you say?
That was in the early 1800s.
Uh-huh.
And his first big load is kind of interesting. The first big load of ginseng, he dried ginseng. It was like 80 tons. He took on a riverboat. He was going into Ohio to sell it there. Apparently, they were shipping it from Ohio to large communities of the Chinese. The boat capsized. He lost the whole thing. And he learned how to pack the boat properly after that, I'm sure.
I'll be darned.
Because he never lost another load after that. But these are all kind of the fun things you'll find in the book, Energy Crisis, the history. And, of course, there were actually wars started over energy drinks.
Uh-huh.
And that's a lot of fun. And then the American Revolution was actually started over a protest over energy drink taxation.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a neat story in there about that. And the first couple of chapters go into how the body actually manufactures energy, how it stores energy, how it utilizes energy. Talks about, you know, there's different chapters for the different types of fuel that the body uses for energy, including carbohydrates and sugar and fat and protein and so on. And most people really, you know, they talk about, well, I'm going to take this for some energy, but they really don't know the mechanism. Most people know a little about mechanism of digestion and, you know, chewing their food and putting in saliva and their stomach acids and absorption through the intestine and so on. People know that basic stuff about digestion and absorption.
Mm-hmm.
But people oftentimes know very little about energy, so we felt it was imperative to have people appreciate how the human body makes energy, the fuels it can use, how it stores energy, how we have rapid access to certain fuels, which most people aren't familiar with.
Well, Doc, all of the energy drinks, or most of the energy popular brands that are on the market now, would it be correct to say are healthy for you, or correct to say are unhealthy for you? Or
well, almost all of them are unhealthy for you, because they're spiked with a lot of sugar. You can get several hundred calories per serving of sugar, because the fuel source that they're using is sugar. And then the energy initiation, the initiating factor for the energy, it's spiked with caffeine. And most people will get the jitters and they get a crash after they drink one or two of these a day.
So why do people like that?
Well, kids, of course. I guess it's, you know, they've learned how to smell glue and sell drugs and smoke and do all these things looking for a buzz and energy. And the kids in grade school and junior high school, middle school and high school and junior colleges do this to get a buzz, and so they love that buzz. They're not looking to drive all night like truck drivers are, you know, over-the-road truck drivers, or college or university senior who's studying for finals, or high school senior who's studying for the SAT test or something of that nature. They're not looking for a calm way to stay up all night and increase your acuity and your memory. They're looking for a real buzz, and they want the jitters, and they want to be a little crazy. And so that's why they do that. That's why those drinks are popular.
Even if they were doing that, it's bad for you. Now, I'm going to make a confession. I've never told anybody this on the air. But back in my college days, when I was a freshman at UC Berkeley, not into drugs at all, really. I was, I hadn't been doing too well in my statistics class. And I decided that I really, really needed to hunker down and the night before the final and really learn the whole course that night. And so I got hold of some amphetamine and I took it. And I literally learned the whole course and aced the test as a result of it. But I felt like I felt very depressed afterwards because it let me down.
It was
just awful. And man, I tell you, the elation and the positive aspect of taking any kind of a artificial substance was far outweighed by the negativity. I mean, I felt so depressed, you know, after that. I just had all kinds of horrible thoughts. And wow, how anybody can go through life, you know, making that part of, a repetitive life process just makes, I never touched it after then, even though I got an A in the class.
Yeah, well, that's the smart thing to do, obviously. But the person who figures, well, gosh, I'm depressed, I'll take some more and feel good again. And after a couple of days of that, they're hooked because it is, these things are addictive. And the same thing happens with these energy drinks that are spiked with sugar and caffeine. These kids will get a crash and they will be depressed. The use of them does increase the rate of suicide. The use of them does increase the rate of ADD and ADHD and anxiety attacks and panic attacks. On the weekends now, the emergency rooms, it took them a while to figure this out. And all this story, of course, is in the book under a section called Energy Drink Bad Boys. The emergency rooms, the hospitals, are being filled now with kids and young adults in their 20s who will drink, say, five or six of these energy drinks in an hour or so to get that really high buzz, but they'll get a heart rate of about 250. Their heart is pounding out of their chest. They get headaches. They go unconscious. They wind up in the emergency room, and doctors are running in and doing invasive and very expensive tests because they didn't know to ask that question, have you been drinking energy drinks, to be able to give an antidote for all that caffeine and to look for that. And, well, now they know. But when this first started happening about 2 years ago, it was a little bit crazy in the emergency room. They said, what the heck is going on? Is there a new street drug? Because all these kids are coming in by the hundreds into the emergency room because they're drinking four or five, six of these in a night and creating these clinical problems that the doctors were unfamiliar with, but now they're familiar with. And that's one of the first things you're going to ask if you come in with a raging headache, when you come in with a heartbeat of 180 to 250, when you really, really have anxiety attacks and you're crawling the walls, first thing they're going to ask is, how many energy drinks did you drink last night?
Uh-huh. Well, so tell me, does caffeine affect people differently if they're in different, you know, forms? For example, for years now, I have not been a coffee drinker except decaf coffee. Okay, because I noticed that if I drink caffeinated coffee any time after even 10 o'clock in the morning, I can't sleep the whole next night. And so if I drink decaf coffee any time, which I'm not much of a coffee drinker anyhow, but if I have some, you know, it's okay if it tastes good and so forth. I will order it decaf, as I know you do,
mm-hmm.
In the rare times that I've seen you drink coffee. But
yeah, it's always decaf.
Yeah. And I know you are not a fan of highly carbonated beverages, but you've seen me drink a Diet Dr. Pepper. And I said, we really shouldn't do that, Michael, but you look at the label and say, okay, well, there's no sugar in it, at least, if there is some carbonation. But there is some caffeine in that. I can drink Diet Dr. Pepper late at night, and the caffeine in it doesn't affect me. Now, why is that?
Well, that's because you have become accustomed to that level of caffeine. In one cup of tea, there's 80 milligrams. In one cup of coffee, there's about 80 milligrams. And in most of these soft drinks, diet drinks with caffeine in them, there's 80 milligrams. If you only drink one of those a year, you're going to get a buzz. But if you drink two a day, you're going to get accustomed to that much caffeine. The average person who drinks a lot of coffee each day our tea each day, even these large glasses, you know, the 42-ounce glasses of iced tea, they're getting about 300 milligrams of caffeine a day, and they get used to it. And so these individuals, if they will drink one of these energy drinks that has 300 milligrams of caffeine in it, they might feel a little bit of energy, but they're not going to get a crash or anything like that because they're used to that much caffeine.
Mm-hmm.
Like anything else, you become accustomed to it.
But there must be different grades of caffeine. In other words, coffee caffeine must not be the same as Diet Dr. Pepper caffeine.
Caffeine is caffeine is caffeine. Caffeine is like a communist. You know, there's a communist is a communist regardless of what country they come from, and caffeine is caffeine regardless of what it comes from. It's just there's small amounts, and in the herb itself, in the tea, or in even there's a little bit of caffeine in peppermint, and there's a little bit of and there's caffeine in many herbs and things, a small amount. And it was just like there's nicotine in more plants than just tobacco. A little bit here, a little bit there, and people get kind of accustomed to that.
But in trace amounts, the law says doesn't require that you put
caffeine the FDA, for instance, with caffeine, added caffeine, where you're spiking something with caffeine, added caffeine, you can only add 80 milligrams per serving. And, of course, in of itself, if a person is used to drinking 3 or 4 cups of coffee a day, that's the equivalent of one more cup of coffee. It's not a big deal. But when you look at a lot of these energy drinks, they're in 16-ounce cans, and they say on the can that 4 ounces is a serving. So 4 times 80, they get to put in that can. What is it?
That's doing an end run. That's not the intent of the law, is it? I mean,
well, it's not the intent of the law, but that's how they are able to get 320 milligrams of caffeine and about 500 calories of sugar in one of those 16-ounce cans. And these kids have just gone crazy with this stuff. And they'll drink 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 of those 16-ounce cans. They even have a term. They punch a hole in the bottom of the can, holding it upside down. Then they'll pull the top off, and they'll drink the whole 16 ounces, like, in about 10 seconds. They call it shotgunning. And these are the kids that wind up with heart rates of, 240 and headaches and unconscious and wind up going to the emergency room.
God. And you would think that they would know that that's the reason. that would get out and around and people wouldn't do that.
Well,
it's dangerous.
They actually video this stuff and put it on YouTube.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. I mean, it's the big thing.
That's crazy.
Yep.
All right, so so you have taken this portrait of Americana here and put it into a book called The Energy Crisis. We're talking with Dr. Joel Wallach, who most of you who listen to KSCO at all will recognize as a prominent talk show host. Has been with us for years with the Dead Doctors Don't Lie program that airs on KSCO and KOMY. And we're talking not health and, we're going to open the phone lines in a little bit, if that's okay with you, Doc, for people to call and ask questions. But we don't want to keep the questions sort of limited to this whole energy drink idea rather than, what should we do for grandma's wart, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You got a lot of Yeah, anytime we have Doc Wallach on and open the phone lines, everybody wants to talk about, hey, what do I do for this problem or for myself or my friend, and so forth. So generally, the topic at hand generally morphs somewhat. But
they can call on the Dead Doctors Don't Lie show and ask those questions.
Exactly, that's what that's for. Okay, so you have become fascinated with the with the energy drink business and industry, I guess. And so then what happened?
Well, I was collecting all this information. And in April of this year, we ran into a energy drink business that was 14 months old, and they had sold 12,800,000 servings of their energy drink. And what fascinated about this energy drink, it only had 24 calories from sugar, only had 5 grams of sugar in 12 ounces, no spike, no added caffeine, had a little bit of natural caffeine in the green tea. It also had guarana in it, which is a herb you find in many energy drinks. It does not have caffeine, per se. It has a phytochemical or a phytonutrient. Phyto is Latin for plant. And it has this phytochemical or phytonutrient in it called guanine, which has energy-driving activity, but is not considered in the caffeine family. And then, of course, there's the Panax ginseng, which goes back to 10,000 years B.C. And it has all these B vitamins in there, very high levels, B3, B6, B12. And it has amino acids in there, which ramp up your energy by stimulating your thyroid gland, including things like taurine, tyrosine, arginine. And this is what drives the energy. And people who are familiar with energy drinks, they say, well, why are you so interested in that energy drink? There's not enough sugar in there to fuel high energy. Well, that's because once you ramp up energy and there's no consumed sugar, there's no sugar in your system or very little sugar in your blood, your body will automatically reach for the next level of fuel, which is your body fat. So this drink was compatible with no spike sugar, no spike caffeine, and it's going to be compatible with weight loss programs because it preferentially uses your body fat as the fuel. We were very excited about that, and we actually acquired that business in April of this year. And since then, we actually added the can, 12-ounce can.
Because before it wasn't a can before?
No, originally it was just a non-carbonated pouch. It was a little foil pouch. You'd tear open the pouch, and you would add the contents into, say, 16 ounces of drinking water,
yeah,
and it turned it into a non-carbonated energy drink. And it was very popular.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and so people kept asking, well, when are you going to get cans? When are you going to get cans? So we actually came up with a can. We used the same size can that Starbucks uses for their coffee coolers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually only has about 10% of the carbonation that you find in a soft drink. And I'll drink the drink from pouches that's non-carbonated with meals, and I'll drink the cans when I'm driving at night from one town to the next, and I want to stay awake without getting the jitters.
So how many of these things do you consume in a day?
Maybe one or two.
So you're not becoming an addict yourself to this healthy energy drink?
No. No, I still drink, Rebound for hydration when I am sweating and exercising and working physically. But when it comes to wanting to ramp up your energy so you're not going to doze off while you're driving, if you want something that's going to give you energy to, for instance, I drink the pouch with my lunch before I do my Monday through Friday Dead Doctors Don't Lie show. So I have high energy all through, which I always did anyway, but it's a lot of fun to have that next level of energy through those two shows.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's good. And before your lectures in the evening, maybe?
Oh, absolutely. In the evening, again, I will just drink the non-carbonated one, the pouch, and since I do it on a regular basis, I'm able to go to sleep at about midnight and sleep well and not have to worry about staying up all night.
For years, I've watched you do the lectures. And, in fact, we're working on putting together a series of lectures up here in KSCO country.
Look forward to it.
In, probably early or mid-March of this year, of 08, coming up here. And if you've ever been to a Doc Wallach lecture, you know that it's definitely worth your time, and you're usually in awe afterwards. Long before you even talked about energy drinks or sports drinks, I consider your lecture energizing not only to yourself but to all the people in the audience. So it's got to be even more so now.
You know, I've been doing these lectures since 1964, Michael, and I tell you, I get so excited every time I do one because the audience is a little bit different. Everybody comes there looking for information, and information is going to save America from what's going on, you know, economically, health-wise. There's all these terrible things going on, and if I may just say something about what's going on.
Please.
Yeah, everybody knows about the automobile industry being moved to India and China. Everybody knows about the big appliance business, you know, the Maytag moving out of Iowa and Kansas and Nebraska and Missouri and Illinois and moving down to Mexico, and everybody knows about those things. But the new one now is the aerospace industry has moved out of the United States now. You can shoot a cannon through all these places now in Southern California. It used to be huge aerospace science, and you can shoot a cannon through them, not hit anybody or anything, because it's all moved to Mexico. 129 of these businesses have moved to Mexico. There's millions of IT jobs that have been moved to India and China, not because executives are greedy, but because of the health care cost. And so the health care costs have driven all these manufacturing jobs out of America, and people now are complaining, well, we don't have health insurance, what do we do? Well, this is where learning a little bit about health can actually save you a lot of money and misery and energy. And learning about the energy drink business can actually save you financially, and you can save your house. You don't have to lose your house to foreclosure because you can make a lot of money. This is the industry of the 21st century, is the energy drink business, and you can actually make a lot of money with the energy drink business through us.
And it sort of goes hand in hand with the health business. So it's like hand in glove, really.
Well, yeah, it does take a little bit of money to be healthy.
Uh-huh.
And if your house is being foreclosed upon and they're hauling your car off and you're becoming a homeless, or you're 30 years old and having to move your spouse and your kids in with your mom and dad because you don't have a job anymore, it's a financial burden on everybody. But if you're making an extra couple $1,000s a month through your energy drink business, which, by the way, is free. We don't charge anything for people getting into the energy drink business. It's free. We give them a free website, and we will mentor and train them and support them as they grow their business for nothing.
It's really a risk-free business, really.
Huh. Risk-free. The only thing you have to invest is a little bit of time, and it's a very exciting business because it's pre-sold. Everybody's into energy drinks, and to me, this is the sort of the next generation above the lemonade stand for kids. We have kids who are doing this. They're only 6, 8, 10 years old, and they can do this if they have a responsible adult co-sign with them. And instead of trying to sell lemonade or Girl Scout cookies or something like that, or Hershey bars, and a lot of kids will do that. You know, they'll go to one of these discount stores, and they buy a big box of candy, and then they come sell them for retail on the street corners.
Uh-huh.
Or people will sell bottles of water at stop signs for people going to work, and they sell coffee and tea and stuff. Well, you can sell this energy drink, but the retail, you actually can make a buck a can on the retail. But the real fun part is building a marketing group, and then you, in addition to getting your retail profits, you also get a we'll pay you weekly a commission based on your marketing group's volume.
And there's this magic word that's become one of the favorite words in my vocabulary, residual. It's actually a phrase, residual income.
Yeah, residual income, yep.
If people only knew what they were missing by not having a residual income, they wouldn't miss it. it's pure and simple.
Exactly.
You don't have to write, you don't have to be an award-winning author. You don't have to do be involved in an Oscar-winning motion picture to receive what are, in effect, royalties or reuse fees or residual income. Anybody can do it. Anybody can do it by getting into this energy drink business. So,
and it's free. Again, it's free to enter into it. The website is free. We'll help you set it up and individualize it for yourself. And the mentoring and training will always be free.
Right. It's 10:39 on AM 1080 KSCO, your favorite radio station. It's MZ and Doc Wallach on the last Saturday special of calendar year 07. Wishing all of you happy holidays, happy new year, and we're going to be on the air right up until noontime. We're talking about the energy crisis. It's the that's the actual title of your new book, right,
that's
Doc?
That's the title of the new book, Energy Crisis. And like I say, there is a companion CD by the same title.
Right.
And to me, it was a lot of fun doing the research for this. And most people, if I may again tell you one little historical story, there's lots of them in the book, including where the term hangovers came from and that kind of thing. But the thing to me is why America became a coffee-drinking country. And it all goes back to the Boston Tea Party. And people, for the most part, I know I ran into the story of the Boston Tea Party in American history in high school and also university. But all they said, there was a bunch of guys got dressed up like Indians and threw tea into the Boston Harbor, and that was kind of it. And you really didn't know the impact and the significance of that. Well, when you do the research, the Boston Tea Party occurred in December of 1773, 3 years before the actual signing of the Declaration of Independence.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually a thought of Samuel Adams, kind of a ne'er-do-well thug cousin of John Quincy Adams. This guy was sort of like a Robin Hood, and his favorite pastime was sticking it to the King of England. He would just do anything. You know, if he'd catch some of the king's cousins or royalty on a coach on one of the back roads, he would stop the carriage and he'd take all their clothes and make them walk back to town naked, that kind of stuff. That's the sort of stuff that Samuel Adams loved to do. Uh-huh. Well, in this case, he learned early that the king was sending three of his private ships filled with his private tea, and of course he'd already established a tea tax, and so he was going to kind of get triple his money on this tea he sent into Boston Harbor. And he sent seven military ships, Navy ships, filled with Marines to protect this cargo. And Samuel Adams learned about this, so 3 days before the ships arrived, he sent out a notice that he was going to have a public meeting on the steps of the Old South Church in Boston, which he did, and one-third of the city's population showed up. I mean, we're talking about 30% of the entire city of Boston showed up. There's over 8,000 people.
Uh-huh.
And you can imagine, and this was just by putting a few posters around and making announcements in taverns and that kind of thing. And for about 3 hours, he just ranted and raved against the king and got everybody fired up. And when he felt that the crowd was ready to do something, he gave a signal, whistled, and from behind the Old South Church came 28 members of his gang, which he called the Sons of Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
That's where that group came from, was Samuel Adams, the Sons of Liberty. They came dressed as Mohawk warriors with all the trappings of Mohawk warriors, and they smeared red clay all over themselves, and they had their feathers and necklaces and leggings and so on. And the crowd of 8,000 people surrounded these 28 guys, shuffled them down the wharf onto the ships, where they promptly threw all the king's tea into the harbor. The crowd then surrounded these 28 guys, and they shuffled them back to the church, where they cleaned themselves up, dressed into their civilian clothes. And to this day, nobody knows who those 28 guys were. Well, Samuel Adams thought that the king was going to send around some of his lieutenants and captains, hammering up notices on posts and buildings that there was a reward for information leading to, you know, who this was. Well, instead of doing that, the king overreacted, and he declared martial law. They declared martial law and would shoot anybody found outside after dark and that sort of thing. They sent in a squad of British soldiers and took over the governor's office and installed a British general as the governor general of Massachusetts. They installed a British general as the mayor of Boston. They blockaded Boston Harbor so American goods couldn't get out and foreign goods could not get in. They enacted what were called the Intolerable Acts, which was essentially making the bad laws worse. You know, the martial law, they just made it more fierce with these five Intolerable Acts. And for the first time in the history of the colonies, all 13 colonies got kind of nervous about this. Boy, the king's really getting wild here. And up until that time, the colonies had all said, we want some representation here, and we're not prepared to pay taxes without representation in the British Parliament. And that's why Benjamin Franklin was always hanging around in France and Europe, because they wanted him to be the first U.S. member of the American member, I guess, at that time, of the British Parliament. Well, the king wouldn't see it or have an American, sort of a peasant American there in the British Parliament, so that never happened. But it was they're always screaming about no taxation without representation.
Right.
Well, after the Boston Tea Party, the cry changed from no taxation without representation to give me liberty or give me death.
Yeah, Patrick Henry's thing.
Yep, yep. Uh-huh. He actually didn't. He never did anything. He was arrested in New York and hung.
Well, I guess they gave him death then.
Yeah. He never set a fire. He never fired a shot. He was actually just walking through New York, and since nobody knew him, they arrested him, and they said, well, before we hang you, do you have anything you want to say? And he says, yeah, give me liberty or give me death. And then they promptly pulled the switch and hung him.
Wow, and now we know the rest of the story.
And now you know the rest of the story. This is the kind of thing you'll find scattered all through this
Energy Crisis. Great book. We're involved in this business, ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't figured it out already. I'm sure people know that. Last week we were, Kevin Hurley was sampling the energy drink samples here at KSCO during the Saturday special. We're going to be doing more of that. Not today. It's not the best day to do that. And there was someone on the line who wanted to know, how to go about, getting some of this stuff. And the best way to do it is at this point, email me, mz@ksco.com. We haven't opened the phone lines officially, but Craig in the South Bay has been waiting for quite some time. I'm going to give out the phone number now, 831-479-1080. 831-479-1080 will connect you to KSCO Radio, your favorite radio station. It's the Saturday special with MZ, and today our special guest, Doc Wallach, talking about the energy crisis. Let's go to Craig's phone call. Thanks for waiting, Craig. You're on the air on KSCO.
¿Cómo estás, amigos?
Hey.
Hey, Doc, are you kind of like the Samuel Adams of the health industry?
Yeah, I would be honored to be called the Samuel Adams of the health industry.
Yeah, they named a beer after him, but not a tea, right? So that's a little flip on.
Yeah, it's better to have a beer named after you than a street.
Yeah.
Hey, I have a question. You're talking about. I don't know anything about these energy drinks. I don't like them. Never drink them. But it seems like all the kids are drinking them from what I've heard and what you're saying. They're young. Why do they need to? They should have enough energy as it is. Why do they need to go around be juiced all the time like this?
Well, actually, you would think that kids of that age in the grade school and junior high school, middle school, high school, and so on would be already full of energy and vim and vigor. And that's the way it's meant to be. But there's a piece missing. There's always a piece missing. And they don't have this energy, and they feel it. That's why 17% of the kids under age 16 are obese right now. It has nothing to do with watching video games. It has nothing to do with not exercising enough. If you're healthy and you feel good and you have that natural energy you should have, I mean, you couldn't keep kids indoors. They're out running around at darkness. You know, the parents would call them in, and they say, well, just 15 more minutes. And the parents would say, well, the boogeyman's going to get you. If you don't come in, you know, it's dark. And they would do whatever they had to do to get the kids in. The kids didn't want to come in because they're outside running around. And that even occurred when there was television, when television first came out. So it has nothing to do with that. It really has to do with things that are missing in these kids. And that's why we are so happy about our energy drink, because it's just loaded with vitamins and amino acids and things that these kids need. It's a very healthy energy drink, and it actually contributes to natural energy.
Well, okay. Wish you well on your endeavor there.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Craig. Okay. Appreciate your call. 479-1080 in area 831 is the phone number to call if you want to go on the air with us. It's MZ and Doc Wallach. Dave on Highway 101, you're next. Welcome to the Saturday special on AM 1080 KSCO. Hello, Dave. Oops, Dave was on.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes, you're on.
Hey, I'd just like to say that I thought it was interesting that the conspirators in the Boston Tea Party, the participants' names are still secret. But we had people in this country that say if the government was involved in a 911 conspiracy, it couldn't happen because they couldn't keep a secret. You got this secret of 24 people, was it? It was kept for over 200 years?
Yeah, 28 people.
Yeah, what does Dr. Wallach think about the government involvement in blowing down building number 7 in New York in 2001.
That's not the topic of our show today.
Can do that another time.
More than happy to do that another time, but let's stick to the subject, okay? Appreciate your call. That opens up lines at 479-1080 if you want to call in. Actually, we've got some commercials to run now, don't we, Dave?
We do.
Yeah, so why don't we do that, and we will invite people to stay with us and come back right after the commercial break. Listen to the commercials, because It's these fine sponsors of this radio station and this radio program that make it possible for you to hear these programs and have your own 10,000 watt and 50,000 watt range soapbox to use yourself. So stay with us. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
Hello, I'm Robert Stangero. Many Santa Cruzans know me as Big Boy. The original Stangero family has been in business since 1879. Our name stands for quality, quantity, and great service. Howard Gilda's restaurant on the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf is still the fishing headquarters for the area. It's where fishermen gather every morning for coffee and breakfast before heading out on the bay. Stop by Gilda's and say hello. Both Gilda and my son Dino look forward to meeting you at Gilda's at the center of the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf.
Attention service businesses. Your customers need to know if you provide quality service. Hi, I'm Robbie Myers from ReferralSantaCruz.com. We screen service businesses for quality, reliability, and trustworthiness so customers don't have to. Find new customers for your service business. List your business today at ReferralSantaCruz.com.
List your business free at ReferralSantaCruz.com. That's right, there's no charge to list your business at ReferralSantaCruz.com. So go to ReferralSantaCruz.com and register today. Are you thinking about a remodel or new kitchen, entryway, or bathroom? If the answer is yes, then you need to go to Santa Cruz Tile and Stone, located at 1800 Soquel Avenue, number 2 in Santa Cruz. You'll find full and prefabricated slabs in granite, marble, limestone, and travertine at great prices. Let Santa Cruz Tile and Stone have the opportunity to meet your needs. At Santa Cruz Tile and Stone, you'll find one of the largest display and showrooms for tile and stone in the area. Come in and check out the displays, and let the expert staff at Santa Cruz Tile and Stone work with you to design your remodel or new construction project. Santa Cruz Tile and Stone is open Monday through Friday from 7:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Don't forget to bring the kids, as Santa Cruz Tile and Stone is kid-friendly with a kids' play area to keep them entertained while you shop. Santa Cruz Tile and Stone, located at 1800 Soquel Avenue, unit number 2 in Santa Cruz. Phone 421-0292. That's 421-0292. Santa Cruz Tile and Stone.
Okay, and we are back on the KSCO AM 1080 Saturday special. It's MZ and Doc Wallach. We're in the closing 6-7 minutes of hour number one. We're going to be with you next hour. And one of the things that we haven't talked about too much that I really would like to talk about, Doc, is the whole residual income thing, because I know we did talk about it a little bit, but I really want to drive that home with people here. So I guess we can plan on doing that a little bit now, if that's okay.
Okay, yeah, sure, we can initiate it, but it's a long conversation, but it is free. The business is free, and the website will give you a free website.
So how do people make money? How do people make money? I mean,
you make money three ways. And number one, you buy the energy drinks wholesale. You sell them retail. So you'll make an average of about a buck or a buck and a quarter per pouch or per can, whether you buy the non-carbonated pouches or the carbonated cans. You'll make about $1.25 to $1.50, depending on your price point, whatever you want to price it at. Just always kind of keep, you know, an eye on what's going on at these mini marts and fast mart places and the discount stores, and just to price your drink at about the same. And they're just a great way for churches to make money and scout groups to make money.
That's a great idea. You know, fundraising, you know, 501c3 charities. What a great way to make money, by just having people who are interested, you know, in the school's music program or the school's sports equipment program, because the taxes are down. And
yeah, the marching bands and all that kind of thing. And here's a case where when they're having these, I don't know, where they sell old clothes and things, you know, at churches. What do they call those things?
Rummage sales.
Rummage sales, yeah. You have a booth there where you're selling these energy drinks, and you sell, you know, have a cooler there, cool them down, rubber band these little pouches to 16-ounce bottles of water, which you buy 35 of these bottles at one of these discount stores in a case. You get it like 15 cents a piece, and you're getting these pouches and the cans at very cheap, and so you can afford to give away that bottle of water with the pouches or you know, buy some ice to cool the cans. And the churches and the scout troops and the peewee leagues and the Pop Warner leagues and anything, even a family needs to make money on, you know, on the weekend. They can do this, or the, instead of the lemonade stand.
Or a flea market, for example.
Flea market, yeah. Absolutely. You could do this on a regular basis at a flea market. You bet. Or a farmer's market, these kinds of things. Trade shows are good.
Well, but how can that grow into, you know, some serious money? Because I know that, you know, people can decide, hey, I want to make a few extra dollars, you know, for a car payment or something, or to help with the...
With the energy drink business we have, Michael, in addition... We pay weekly on this, by the way. We pay weekly, so people get four paychecks a month, and that's from the wholesale volume. We'll talk about how to create that wholesale volume. They get their retail profit, so it's two ways they make money. And then the third way, there's an awards program, kind of like mileage on airplanes and nights spent in hotels and things of that nature. You get these award programs, you get these very expensive... mountain bikes, these platinum mountain bikes. You can get laptops, pool tables, Rolex watches. They're worth tens of thousands of dollars.
Isn't there a guy who got a Mercedes?
Mercedes. We're giving away a lot of Rolex watches.
It's not a little model. It's not a scale model.
No,
toy.
No,
it's a real Mercedes, right?
This is one of those big SL, whatever it is.
Uh-huh.
And that's because if you cross all your T's and dot all your I's with our energy drink business, we will pay you $1,000 a month for a car bonus.
Uh-huh. Great. Okay. We got a caller, Gordon, on a cell phone about the energy crisis. Let's bring Gordon on now and welcome him to KSCO. You're on, Gordon, with Doc Wallach and MZ.
Hey, MZ. Hey, Doc. How you guys doing?
Hey.
Good. Hey, you know, you guys mentioned something earlier that really struck a chord with me. I work for a nonprofit organization that has a outdoor camp-type program.
Okay.
We're talking about... I deal directly with up to 40 staff members and 300 participants with this program. And I've been doing this for over 10 years now, but something I've noticed within the last 2 to 3 years is parents are sending their kids to camp with these energy drinks. And that's something that really kind of bothers me.
They can't do without them. They get addicted, and so we want them to be addicted to a healthy energy drink instead of a destructive one.
Exactly, but it's the... I mean, we're talking about some younger kids here, and it's not just our, the participants in our program, it's the staff as well. Do people just not understand what putting all the sugar and all the caffeine and everything else in your system does to you?
They do not understand.
Is it an issue of education?
They do not understand that there has to be education, and that's why my wife and I came out with the book, Energy Crisis. Part of the crisis is the side effects of all this large amount of sugar and caffeine, the impact of those things per drink, and when you drink six of those in an hour so you can get a movie on YouTube and that kind of stuff, or these 25-year-olds mix these high-caffeine, high-sugar drinks with alcohol, and that causes severe dehydration, which can and has caused death. So these are the things we're warning people and educating people on. And this book is really flying off the shelves. People are really interested in energy drinks now, and they really don't understand them, as you point out. And so it's a thing that we felt obligated to do, to get the information out, let people make their own decisions, but educated decisions.
Well, that's excellent, and more power to you guys. I mean, I've seen the results of these kids that try to drink these things and go on a hike, and, you know, you get a mile and a half away from base camp, and they start crashing, and it's like, whoa.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
So it only takes about a half hour. They do start crashing in about a half hour after they consume these things.
Right. Well, it all depends on how many you drink, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, thanks very much, guys.
Thanks for your call, Gordon. 479-1080 is the phone number to call if you want to join us here on the Saturday special for the last Saturday special, actually, of calendar year 07. It's MZ and our good friend Doc Wallach, who's been with us, officially since November of 1994, but doing the daily Dead Doctors Don't Lie program, which you can hear live on AM 1340 KOMY from 12 noon to 1 p.m. weekdays, and a rerun from 4 a.m. to 5 a.m. on AM 1080 KSCO weekdays Yeah, he's been with us for a long time, and we look forward to having him with us a lot longer. You're listening to KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. It's 11 a.m. Here is Fox News. We'll be back in about 6 minutes.
Fox News Radio, I'm Chris Stanley. Benazir Bhutto's death continuing to rock Pakistan, with the government now claiming an Islamic militant leader, Baitullah Murshid, directed the assassination. The Murshid has publicly denied it, and Bhutto's Pakistan People's Party doesn't buy it and points the finger back at the government.
She was the only real threat to President Musharraf. And President Musharraf, you see, he wants to extend his stranglehold, to perpetuate his stranglehold at all costs. And only she was standing in the way.
PPP spokesman Cameron Zafar, who also says party leaders will be meeting tomorrow to decide whether or how to proceed with the January 8th parliamentary elections. Already, the other main opposition party, led by former Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif, says it's now not going to take part in those elections. The government also now claims Bhutto died hitting her head on a lever of a sunroof of the SUV she was riding in, propelled into it by the bomb blast shockwave. No gunshot wounds, it says, and that's not flying with her supporters either.
A lot of people who were at the hospital at the time said that they heard the surgeon who dealt with Benazir when she came to the Rawalpindi hospital say that there had been a bullet that was lodged in her neck that could not be removed. And then suddenly the government is saying that there were no bullet wounds, and now she's buried. There's no autopsy that's been performed, and so people are suspicious.
Fox's Jennifer Griffin. The Pakistani government also says it doesn't need any outside help investigating the assassination, but a senior Bush administration official tells the New York Times that, quote, there's a growing sense we're going to have to work on the investigation in some way. Sometimes as Chicago's O'Hare Airport goes, so goes the nation. Snow forced hundreds of flight cancellations yesterday. Today's another story. Things are pretty much back on track. Just a couple of dozen flights getting the hook. The fifth consecutive weekend there's been weather problems at O'Hare. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The nation's air traffic controllers went on strike on August 3rd, 1981, grounding about 7,000 daily flights. 3 days later, President Ronald Reagan took an unprecedented move to break the strike. He fired all 12,000 air traffic controllers in retaliation.
Let me read the solemn oath taken by each of these employees. I am not participating in any strike against the government of the United States or any agency thereof. It is for this reason that I must tell those who fail to report for duty this morning, they are in violation of the law, and if they do not report for work within 48 hours, they have forfeited their jobs and will be terminated.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
It's getting a little nasty out there on the campaign trail. You decide. 2008. Looks like the holiday coffee break is over. Mitt Romney taken out after Mike Huckabee and John McCain and some new ads. Huckabee trying to rise above it.
When people get that far behind having spent that much money, they get desperate. Desperate's one thing. But dishonest is something else. And when you get desperate and dishonest, it's not a very pretty sight.
Just as the campaigns said they would, they kind of left the fisticuffs aside for the Christmas break, but now that it's over and the run-up to the actual caucus and New Year's, the gloves are off, and there is just a back and forth on the air that really is uncommonly negative for Iowa.
Fox's Major Garrett. It's a toss-up on the GOP side in the polls and on the Democratic side, too, where John Edwards is now in a dead heat with Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. Well, a Trekkie who thought he had a real find is now saying, beam my bunny back, Scotty.
A Trekker who paid $6,000 for a poker visor, which he thought had been worn by Data on Star Trek The Next Generation, is suing Christie's Auction House, saying the prop is a fake. Ted Moustakas said he knows it's counterfeit because he brought the visor to Brent Spiner, who plays Data, to get it autographed. Spiner told him that he sold the real deal himself some time ago. Christie's says it's authentic. Bill Vitka, Fox News Radio.
A American filmmaker Oliver Stone is stirring controversy by appearing in Venezuela with its president, Hugo Chavez, who is launching a mission to airlift three hostages held by Colombian rebels out of the jungles in that country. Well, Stone's working on a documentary film, which he describes only as being about North America and South America. He says he wants to accompany that humanitarian operation into Colombia. Things appear to be coming unglued in Kenya. There's been a razor blade close presidential election. People are upset over the slow pace of returns, which have now been stopped. Thousands reported to be in the streets of Nairobi, waving machetes, looting shops, burning down homes. Chris Stanley, Fox News Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. You're tuned in to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. It's Saturday, December 29th. 2007. I'm Dave Michaels with your weather forecast, and today's forecast calls for mostly rainy conditions. Highs should be around 58 degrees with winds south-southwest between 5 and 10 miles per hour. Tonight you can expect more showers with lows around 43 degrees and winds light and variable. And tomorrow more rain can be expected with highs around 58 degrees. Tomorrow night conditions should clear up with lows around 34 degrees. Your Monterey Bay boaters forecast for today, southeast winds 5 to 10 knots becoming south in the afternoon. Wind waves 1 to 2 feet along with the northwest swell 4 to 9 feet at 12 seconds. And there's a chance of rain out there on the waters of Monterey Bay as well. The time is 11:06, and it's time for hour number 2 of the Saturday special with your host MZ right here on AM 1080 KSEO Santa Cruz.
A chance of rain.
A chance of rain.
Well, we need it. Don't you think?
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back.
Our detectives are closing in on this woman who recorded this sexy voice woman who recorded that promo back in the 1950s. We think she's still alive, and we think we're going to get her on the Saturday special soon.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
And it's 7 minutes past 11, 7 minutes into hour number two. Well, we're only actually just starting hour number two of the Saturday special after the Fox News and the Dave Michaels weather forecast. Thank you, Dave. We have a special guest with us today, Doc Wallach, talking about the energy crisis. No, not the the shortage of oil, which I don't think there's a shortage of at all, but the different kind of energy, the human energy crisis, where people just are not as energized as they think they should be. Specifically, we're talking about the phenomenally growing industry of energy drinks and how most of the energy drinks are very, very addictive, loaded with caffeine, loaded with sugar, and that has led to a really interesting business opportunity that I personally and the radio station and staff are involved in, and that is a healthy energy drink business. And we're talking about that today. And, you know, it's interesting. There was in our commercial break last hour, there was a commercial about signing up for a free ad by going to a website or something, and more of that is happening. You know, it seems like the whole financial or business model of many things are evolving into something where, you know, something of value that has traditionally, you know, been something that people sell and that you pay for is being given away for free. And somehow the giver of the something of value earns revenue via an alternative source, and that's really what this program is all about. I mean, I've been a an advocate of residual income and of people being in charge of their own lives ever since I was laid off from a job that I loved and would still be doing today at the age of 56 years old, making little more than minimum wage and loving every second of it, if I hadn't been laid off at the age of 21. And this is a job that I absolutely loved. And the boss used to pat me on the back every day and say, hey, you're doing such a great job, Michael. You know, really happy to have you here. And then one day he called me into his office and said, you better sit down for this. I'm going to have to let you go. And I said, why? You're always telling me what a great job I'm doing. Well, it's not my fault. I mean, my boss, a corporate 3,000 miles away, said we've got to cut back. And we have to cut back on everything based upon seniority. And though I love you, you're the best employee we've ever had. You were the most recent, so we've got to let you go. Hey, I was devastated at the time, but what a valuable lesson to learn at the tender age of 21. People are learning that lesson now in their 40s and 50s when they have mortgages and taxes and educations for their kids, staring them in the face. Man, if people only knew what a residual income could do for them. And that's why I am really excited about being in a position to put this information out. You know, long before I knew Doc Wallach, I was very interested in being in charge of my own life and not depending on some employer for my livelihood. Because I had learned at a really tender age that depending on an employer, even if you do a great job, look what happens. You get laid off anyhow. Anyhow, so let's welcome Doc Wallach back to our program here. Let's bring Doc up. You there, Doc?
Hey, Michael, glad to be back.
Yeah, great. Okay, let's lock in here. And by the way, if you want to give us a call, the phone number is 479-1080 in area 831. If you want to, we're going to have a supply of these books here at KSCO starting just after the first of the year. So if you want to get a copy of the book, you can shoot me an email, mz@ksco.com, and I'll either put in an order for you or let you know when you can come by the radio station and pick it up. Give us a call here if you want to ask some questions about money. Everybody's interested in money. 479-1080. Let's go to the phones. Zoltan in Santa Cruz. Hey, is this the Zoltan who was on last week?
Yes, sir. This is me. Hi, Dr. Wallach.
How are you
Hello.
Doing, Zoltan?
Yeah, okay. I tasted your product. It actually tastes pretty good. I was just telling Mike last week I did some wood chopping, and boosted my energy up. Yeah,
that's why I like it. In fact, when the show's over, we're going to go up to the mountains. We have a little cabin up there, and because of all the fires, there's a lot of trees that have fallen over, and so we have to cut them up. So I'll drink one of these energy drinks about a half hour before I start doing that, and I'll get about 5 hours worth of energy out of it.
Yeah, good. And also, I'm going to be, I already signed up with MZ a couple of weeks ago. I received my first shipment of these pouches, and I'm going to take some to the ski slopes because I noticed I'm 58, but I can ski practically all day. And all these young kids, they poop by 11 o'clock, so they're lining up. So I think I'm going to be able to sell a lot of these pouches just right there, you know?
Absolutely.
You've got a lot of connections overseas, don't you, Zoltan?
Yeah, okay. This was a question what I was going to ask Dr. Wallach about, okay? I have some great people. I'd like to sign them up in Japan and also in Austria and possibly Hungary and France, you know? When it comes to Germany or other countries, do you have any product labeling?
The countries we have labeling for, Zoltan, right now, are Japan and Canada, which you have to have both the English and the French.
Mm-hmm.
And so that Canadian product would be useful in France. We do have this product being sold, or energy product being sold in Australia, New Zealand, Korea, in Japan, Hong Kong. It's in Canada, as I said, Puerto Rico, Guam. Quite a few countries in Europe, on a small basis, is not, you know, like we have warehouses and this, that, and the other. But people will order some quantities, and we will ship them to them, and then they disperse it there in their local area. And right now, other than Canada and Australia and New Zealand, that's how we're doing it. You have to have some interested party there. They buy 30 boxes, 15 cases of the cans, you know, 30 boxes of the little pouches or however, and then they sell it and disperse it there in their local area.
Okay, so currently all these pouches are just in English?
Except we do have them in Korean, Japanese and in English and French for Canada and France.
That's great because I have some in our excellent in the context in Japan. Okay, yeah, mm-hmm. And I'd like to ship those. Can I get some of those foreign languages, you know, here shipped to me so I could see what I'm going to?
Yeah,
be
you
shipping?
just call the regular warehouses you've already ordered from.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Okay. Oh, okay, great. And if you need any additional help internationally and all these promoting your product, you can always call me. Mike has my number.
Yeah.
I speak six languages.
He does speak six languages.
Wow.
He's amazing.
And we'll give that to Michael. We'll certainly be in touch with you.
Great.
Yeah, okay, great. Anytime I'm ready to go, okay?
Okay.
Thank you, Zoltan. Appreciate
all right,
your call.
You come up there. I look forward to meeting you.
And I'm glad to hear that actually it's a very good profit margin built into all these individual people, okay, selling the product.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's three ways to make money. One is the retail profit. The other is the wholesale volume commissions, which we're going to talk about here in a little bit, mm-hmm. and then also the awards booklet.
Yeah, that is great. And right now I'm just working on my ACT website, so I'm going to be putting it there. So that's a great product and a great promotion. And just keep up this great work, and really excellent, exciting, you know?
And so Doc will meet you when he comes in March probably here. So thanks, Zoltan. Appreciate your call on the Saturday special. That opens up a line at 479-1080. Give us a call. I've got my email box open, so you can email me now, mz@ksco.com. Let's go to our next caller, Rich in Salinas. Rich, welcome to the Saturday special on AM 1080 KSCO with MZ and Doc Wallach.
Good morning.
Hey.
Yeah, I was out to Connie Reeder's store yesterday and was talking with her about some of the things that I've been working on trying to promote this. And what I was asking her was, are there any display cases? Getting shelf space on some of the larger grocery store chains is kind of difficult. And if we had a display case that we could display things with maybe a flyer next to it, or even somebody sitting there with samples.
Yeah, well, this is one of the things we're going to get into. There are these pop-up signs that are like 8 foot tall and 3 foot wide, very high-quality silkscreen signs. Mm-hmm. They go down into an aluminum base. They weigh about, I don't know, 3 pounds. You can take them on an airplane, and they pull out of the base, and there's a pole you put behind and hook it onto that. And you can do that at a booth or a trade show or a store, and it has some very nice pictures of the cans and the pouches. And then there is a display box that goes along with the pouches. We're working on the cans being, right now they come in cases of 24, and the minimum order for the cans is 2 cases. We're looking at adding 6-packs and 12-packs into the cases so that you can grab a quick 6-pack or 12-pack, and the individual might not want all 24, so it'll be easier to retail. But there are display boxes for the pouches.
Okay. Oh. Well, I was going to say the particular store I'm talking with, I've talked to their buyer, and they want some information on the product, but it's mm-hmm. shelf space, and so that's why I'm thinking of. I mean, you could stack up cases with a nice display around it.
Oh, absolutely.
We don't have to worry about the shelf space.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're interested, and they said their best seller is Red Bull, and they turn about a pallet of Red Bull every 10 days.
Well, they'll be able to sell this as a healthier alternative to Red Bull, and it's in a very similar can as far as the size and the shape of the can. Tall.
And the color.
Yeah. And very easy to sell. And for parents, they're going to want their kids to drink this drink rather than Red Bull.
Is there any problem with having somebody sit there and handing samples out? Do you have any problem with that?
No, actually, we have.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Mini brochure.
Okay. Well, I'm just.
That's what you're supposed to do to get people to try it.
That's what we're trying to get.
What we have here is a little mini brochure that's 3 inches by 3 inches, and it's folded over. And it has a place for you to put one of these little Avery computer labels on there with your website and toll-free number and your name, and even maybe a little short message. and you can rubber band these little mini brochures with a pouch inside of it, or you can rubber band them to the cans, however you want to sample. Absolutely. Yeah. And this is how you get people to go on your website, and they can sign up passively to you. They go on there, and especially the younger people are web and computer literate, and they go on there, they go right to, there's a little button that says you want to join now, push this button, and it's your website. We give you the website, it's individualized for you, and
And you don't need to be a computer programmer. And you can train an ape to do this. It's really, really easy, right?
Yeah, well, I'm not computer literate.
No, you're the least computer literate person I know.
Yeah, and I can do this.
Yeah. And even you can do it, right?
Even I can do it.
Right.
My last question is on the pack. I gave a pack to a friend of mine to try, and he's used to drinking Monster usually, and he didn't like the taste. Now, does it have to be chilled, or is there a certain mixture that maybe he didn't do it right, or?
Basically, you know, some are going to like it, some aren't. We have another flavor coming out. We're going to wind up with about six flavors. We have our second flavor coming out. It's a more tropical mango kind of flavor.
Mm-hmm.
That should be available here after the first of the year, and soon after the first of the year. And so it'll give people an option if they don't particularly like the flavor we have. But the flavor we have, for those who haven't tried it, to me it tastes like kind of a fruity ginger ale. And it has a very pleasant aftertaste, where Red Bull has a very bitter aftertaste. And to me, Red Bull tastes like dirty socks smell and has a bitter aftertaste. Well, the original flavor, to me, tastes, again, like a fruity ginger ale. And it has a very pleasant sweet aftertaste because we have stevia, which is an herb, which is very sweet. No calories associated with it, but it's a very sweet herb. And that is the sweetener. In this product. So it only has 24 calories and for 12 ounces, a very low sugar, only 5 grams of sugar for 12 ounces.
And what is the amount of water with the packet that you need?
Well, the packets recommend 10 ounces of water.
Okay. And then should it be chilled or should you put an ice cube in it or something?
If you use chilled or ice water, it takes about, I don't know, maybe 5 minutes for it to completely dissolve in the cold water.
Okay.
If you use room temperature water and shake it up in one of these bottles, maybe 2 or 3 minutes. I like to leave it sit for 5 minutes and then shake it up a second time and then drink it. The flavor is a little more full.
Okay.
When you just dump it in and drink it right away, it might be a little flat.
That's maybe what he was doing.
Yeah, he may have drunk it right away. Or if he's expecting that zip that comes out of the carbonation, he may want to try the cans instead of the pouches.
Well, I've gotten some for him, so the next time I see him, probably tonight or tomorrow, I'll give him a can and see if what the difference is on it.
Yeah, because there are people that are into the energy drinks. They expect to hear that hiss when they pop open that can. They wanted to have that. In fact, before you taste it, you actually get that zing from the carbonation.
Yeah, I'd like to get him in this because he knows just about everybody in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm. Well, good.
That's the way to really build this business in a big way, using the Internet and using connections like Zoltan has and like your friend has worldwide. And, you know, I guess as time goes on, you're going to figure out, you know, most economical ways to deal with the shipping. Of course, when you're dealing with a powder, that's not an issue, really, because there's hardly any weight there.
Well, right now, Michael, we have several regional warehouses. If you go pick it up, these regional warehouses, you don't have to pay any shipping.
Uh-huh.
This includes Portland, Oregon, San Diego, California. We have one in Dallas, Texas. We have one in Grand Rapids, Michigan, one in Kankakee, Illinois, which is about an hour south of Chicago. We have one in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and we have one, I think, in Horse Heads, New York, which is just south of Buffalo, New York. We're looking to get one going in the Atlanta area. And so we have these regional warehouses all over. We actually have one also in Memphis, Tennessee, where people, if they want to pick up, they have to pick up a minimum of a quarter of a pallet there. They can't go pick up a six-pack or a case or anything like that in Memphis, but they can pick up a minimum of a quarter of a pallet there.
Hey, Doc,
how many cans is
I'm sorry.
Yeah, how many cans is a quarter pallet, roughly?
Well, there's 27 cases, and there's 24 cans per case, so you multiply 27 times 24, whatever that is.
Right. 27 times 20. Go ahead.
Yeah, last thing is I've been listening. I usually listen to the classical music station, 95.5, and they have been running ads for ACT. And I don't know if that's company policy you're doing it or if it's some individual is running ads there. But
those are individuals. The company doesn't do that.
Okay.
So individuals, any place you can get advertising, any place you can get a place where you can sample the products. Again, like Michael said earlier, flea markets, farmers markets, trade shows of any kind. It could be a boat show, a gun show, health show, woman show, baby show. A good place is these job things where you go in. looking for jobs. What do they call them?
Yeah, job fairs.
Job fairs. There you go. Mm-hmm. Any place like that where people are looking for something. And my dad only had a fourth grade education, but I used to ask him, I said, well, how come everybody around us has lost their farm? You know, the bank owns all the farms around. We own ours. And, you know, we're no different than most other people. And I was about 12 years old, and I was asking him, how come the bank never took our farm? He says, well, that's because we, meaning he and I, have 17 sources of income. If five of them dry up, it's no big deal. And so I learned from him when I was 12 years old that it's best to have 17 sources of income instead of just a good job.
Those display cases you mentioned, are they available now or is that coming?
They're available now.
And how would I get those through my distributor?
You go ahead and contact the company and just order them. The pouches come in a display box. There's 30 pouches in a display box, and you push the cover back, and you can put it on a counter in these mini marts and so forth, and, you know, there's something to read on there, and it is in a very attractive display box. It has 30 pouches in it.
Okay. Is there a display box for the cans, too?
Not yet. That sign, that 8-foot sign that's 3-foot wide, and
That's available.
Yeah, it's a vertical sign.
Okay.
It's on a stand. It's self-standing. So you don't need to hang it off of anything.
Great.
Okay, thank you very much for all that. I appreciate it.
Hey, you're very welcome.
Okay, thank you, Rich. 479-1080 is the phone number to call if you want to be on the Saturday special with Doc and MZ. MZ@KSCO.com is the email. Let's go to our next caller, B.O.B. Okay, B.O.B., you're on the air.
I've got to make sure my radio's off there. Okay. Hey, I want to know, what are the primary stimulants to the ACT, the Act?
Well, the stimulants in there are three herbs, about six amino acids, and four vitamins.
Which are they?
Okay, well, the herbs are Panax ginseng,
oh,
guarana, which is also known as Zoom, or Brazilian chocolate.
Wow.
And then there's a green tea, which is one of the oldest energy drinks. Oldest energy earth goes back to 10,000 B.C.
Is there any selenium in this?
There's no selenium in there. There's no selenium.
Green tea plus selenium. As you have said, I've listened to you for 11 years, Dr. Wallace. I can say on this station, I can say that selenium is composited with green tea, the respectively queen and king antioxidants.
You're talking to the choir.
What?
Bob, you're talking to the choir. I'm the guy sued the FDA so we can say that about selenium.
You got to put some of that selenium in this drink. It doesn't take any.
Well, trust me. Things are happening. You know, just you got to wait a couple more weeks.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. It's not Bob. It's B.O.B. It's there's no one with a name like B.O.B. I've been corrected.
Like
thank you for calling.
Okay, what is it? Obi Kenobi?
Obi-Wan Kenobi. Yeah, right. So B.O.B. All right, thanks, B.O.B. Jane in Watsonville is going to be next, I think, because as soon as I can put her on the air. But in any case, the residual income thing is the thing that that I know people are interested in but don't understand at all. We should go into that, but after we take this call from Jane in Watsonville. And by the way, if you want to call us, it's 479-1080 in area 831. You're listening to the KSCO Saturday Special with Dr. Joel Wallach and MZ. We're talking energy drinks, the business and the product now. Jane in Watsonville, you're on KSCO.
Hi, Dr. Wally.
Hi, Jane.
Hey. Yeah. Could I order this on auto ship?
You can.
I can.
You can order an auto ship, but because of the weight of the cans, you don't get free shipping with AutoShip with this energy drink.
Oh, I don't.
No. Mm. Now, to get free shipping, you have to go to one of these regional warehouses and pick it up. We have people will do that. They'll either rent a van, or if they have a van or a big pickup truck, they'll get three or four people together, and they'll drive to one of these regional warehouses, and they'll pick up two or three pallets.
Mm-hmm.
And each pallet has 108 cases in it, and they will pick up several pallets. And that way you don't have to pay shipping on them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is your can real colorful? Because I just got through buying a Fuse, F-U-Z-E, Health Infusion.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got strawberries and watermelon. It's an 18-ounce drink. And I just had a little bit a little while ago.
Yeah, there's a lot of juices out there.
Yeah,
you know, the old V8, you know, which have the eight vegetable juices. And there's a lot of nice fruit juices out there.
And they're different. They're not really an energy drink as much as they are an antioxidant drink and maybe refreshing antioxidant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, then. Thank you, then, Dr. Walling.
Jane, thanks for your call to the Saturday special where it's 11:29, almost 11:30. We've got a half hour remaining in this program, and your chance to ask questions. We want to keep it to this topic of energy drinks and residual income, actually, because that's what we are promoting today, because this is something that I've seen and I believe in, and the product is great and the opportunity is great, and the more people out there who are losing their jobs and worried about getting another job, get out of that mindset. You know, just start taking control of your own financial life, and I think you're going to be a whole lot happier. That's just something that I learned a long time ago.
Even if you have a good job, you want to have your own little business. That way, you actually get most of your withholdings taxes back.
Yeah, exactly. And so many people don't understand that they can legitimately be buying things that can be associated with you. Anything that you buy that's associated with your business is completely tax deductible, right?
That is correct.
So, yeah.
Hello?
You're tuned in to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. Apparently, we've lost MZ. Dr. Wallach, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay, we have about 2.5 minutes worth of breaks. Why don't we go ahead and take that, and hopefully we can get MZ reconnected during the break.
Otherwise, David will be using me.
Oh, that's a scary thought. We'll be right back. We'll be back in about 2.5 minutes. You have it tuned in to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz and the Saturday special.
A remodel or new kitchen, entryway or bathroom? If the answer is yes, then you need to go to Santa Cruz Tile and Stone, located at 1800 Soquel Avenue, number 2 in Santa Cruz. You'll find full and prefabricated slabs in granite, marble, limestone, and travertine at great prices. Let Santa Cruz Tile and Stone have the opportunity to meet your needs. At Santa Cruz Tile and Stone, you'll find one of the largest display and showrooms for tile and stone in the area. Come in and check out the displays, and let the expert staff at Santa Cruz Tile and Stone work with you to design your remodel or new construction project. Santa Cruz Tile and Stone is open Monday through Friday from 7:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Don't forget to bring the kids, as Santa Cruz Tile and Stone is kid-friendly with a kids' play area to keep them entertained while you shop. Santa Cruz Tile and Stone, located at 1800 Soquel Avenue, unit number 2 in Santa Cruz. Phone 421-0292. That's 421-0292. Santa Cruz Tile and Stone.
Many of us now have a Christmas tree in our home, which means we will eventually have to figure out what to do with that tree. No problem. Hello, I'm Patrick Matthews with Santa Cruz County Public Works with an answer for what to do with your tree. Recycle it. That's right. Santa Cruz County recycles Christmas trees free. Beginning January, we'll pick up your tree free. Simply remove all the ornaments and tinsel from the tree, cut it into 3-foot pieces, and place it curbside on your regular trash and recycling collection day. We'll chip your tree and use the chips to help plants grow or to fuel the generation of electricity. If you can't leave your tree curbside, we'll have free drop-off stations throughout Santa Cruz County available between December 26th and January 13th. For the drop-off location closest to you, visit santacruzcountyrecycles.org. That's santacruzcountyrecycles.org. Or call the Santa Cruz County Recycling Information Line at 454-2333. That's 454-2333. Don't throw away that tree. Recycle it. Why? Because Santa Cruz County recycles.
Hi, this is Steve Thomas from Capitola Freight and Salvage and Marvin Gardens. We're open from 10 to 4 this time of year, 7 days a week. We specialize in new and used building materials, pottery, and ceramics from San Francisco and Italy. We've got lots of wrought iron, ornate, solid iron fencing with gates, custom-made tile, and building materials, new and used of all types.
Oh, we come here looking for stuff to fix old houses, you know, like the old tile and stuff like that, and old doors. That's what we're looking for today's doors.
Good prices?
Always good prices.
You know you can haggle, right?
I've haggled.
Are you a professional haggler?
Sometimes, if I have to be. I'm good at it, too.
Good. And is green building important to you? Is it important to recycle things?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, you got to do that.
The phone number is 465-6990. Remember, that's Capitola Freight and Salvage and Marvin Gardens, 1575 38th Avenue, right behind Orchard Supply.
And visit CapitolaFreight.com.
And we are back. You're tuned into AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz and the Saturday special with your host, MZ, who has just dropped off. We're trying to get him reconnected, but are you there, MZ?
Well, I'm here on the phone. We're going to try to hook up on the ISDN right now if that gets if that's been reset. But in any case, the wonders of technology. The Internet stopped working and the ISDN connection stopped working. Really, really strange at the same time. But we're on with Doc Wallach, and I think you're there, right, Doc?
I'm here. It was just, I'm sure, a communist plot.
That's probably what it is. And, you know, when President Reagan said, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall," I thought that was the end of communism, but there's really a lot of it left, huh? You know, anyhow, we're talking about the energy drink business. You know, Doc, you're really good at this. Take over.
Okay.
Well, I try to figure out how to reconnect on the, sure. The connection.
Well, basically,
here.
The way to build your energy drink business is to get these little mini brochures, and I think you get 100 of them for $10, and you take these pouches, and you put a pouch, rubber banded in there. There's a space on the back of the mini brochure for you to put a little Avery label with your name and website, which we give you your free website. So it'll have your name and your website and your toll-free number, and you find some way to sample these things. Whether you're on a public bus or you're at your workplace or you're at lunch, wherever you normally would frequent to eat lunch, or you stop at a place to grab a cup of something on the way home, you want to be handing these out to people. And the demographics of people who are interested in building their own businesses range usually seriously from 18 to say 40. Obviously there's exceptions to that. There's kids who are 6 years old who want to own their own business. There's people who are 70 years old who want to own their own business. But the biggest majority, 75% of the people who are really out there thrashing the bushes, are in the sort of junior chamber of commerce age, below 35. And so you can kind of save your samples when you're sampling, whether it's a can of these energy drinks where you have rubber banded one of these little mini brochures to it. Don't forget to put your Avery label on there with your name, website, and phone number on it, preferably a toll-free number. And that's how you get people interested. The main thing is you want to get your website, get a little magnetic sign you put on your car, on the driver's door, the passenger door, and the rear end of the car or truck or van, and you want to put your name and your website and the energy drink information. And so people at stop signs when you park your car, at church, at work, at a mall, at the grocery store, people read that stuff. They write down your website and your toll-free number, and they call you. They go on the website, and the nice thing about the websites we give you is very informational, answers all the questions that people would normally have about the energy drink and the differences between our energy drink and the others out there in the market. Is and there's a place in the upper right-hand corner. It's a button that says, "To join now, push here." You push that button, gives you the application. You fill it out right online, punch the enter button when you've completed everything, and you're in. You can actually teach you how to activate your website. If you're not computer literate like me, I'm not computer literate, you can call customer service on the toll-free number, and they will walk you through this and teach you how to do it. And, of course, the people who actually would sponsor you would mentor you and train you for free.
Huh.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so it's the total accumulation of sales. Let's say we have people like yourself, Michael, who have, if you will, associates in your businesses around the country.
Oh, yeah.
And so even while you and I are talking here, there's people in Painted Post, New York, and there's people in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and people in Denver, Colorado, who are selling our energy drinks. And you're actually earning money as we're speaking here, and that's how it works. You create these marketing groups. You get your website out there.
Yeah,
and as many ways as you can. You can put a classified ad in a newspaper or the Penny Savers.
Uh-huh.
Go to trade shows and hand out samples. And it doesn't matter what the trade show is. People are always looking for something to drink.
The important thing that I want to get out here, Doc, is that you don't have to own a radio station like I do.
Oh, no.
To be able to harness the value of radio stations.
That's
because
correct.
You can have the radio stations be part of your downline sales organization.
And we do. We have many people who have actually
signed up a radio station
as a associate or distributor in their group. And then the people who come in from the radio station get signed up under the radio station, so the radio station makes money.
And the radio station has a big voice, so it can very efficiently spread this message, which
That's
is
correct.
What we're doing right now. Other things that people can do that are thinking out of the box is signing up a whole basketball team, people who've done that in the longevity
sure.
business. And I'm sure they're doing that in the Drink Act business, too, or will be doing
call your own,
that.
Call your own college buddies. Your old high school buddies, go through the high school yearbook. Go in the phone book. Just go in the phone book. Anybody has a phone would probably today with these variable mortgages kicking in and people getting their homes foreclosed upon or they have to give up activities so they can pay their mortgages. Everybody needs an extra $500 a month.
Yeah. And how much, what kind of money can be, it's really as much or as little as anybody wants, right?
Well, it caps off, it does have a cap, it caps off at $50,000 a week.
Wait a minute, $50,000 a week? Are you talking about sales volume? Or are are there people making that kind of money, be honest?
We do have people who are making $50,000 a week, yes.
Oh, more than $30,000 a week, but those people are going to – what's going to happen when they reach the cap, if they do, of $50,000 per week?
Well, they need to spend more of their time working in their downline group and making sure their downline group is making $10,000 a week, $20,000 a week, $50,000 a week.
No, but these are crazy numbers. They're like unbelievable numbers.
Yeah, of course, we're talking about maybe – 5% of the people who do this are entrepreneurs. They're working, seriously working this business and going to trade shows and having conference calls. And they're working this 4, 5, 6 hours a day who make that kind of money. This is not a lottery. You do have to put out some effort. And those people who put out the effort are going to get the bigger checks. Those people who don't put out the effort, they might get an extra $500 a month, you know, $125 a week or something, which is nothing to sneeze at when it comes to a passive income. And people are spending money anyway for energy drinks and soft drinks and coffee and tea. And so you might as well go to your own store, which is free. Obviously, the business is free. Your website is free. The mentoring and training is free. So if you can pick up an extra $500 a month, that'll certainly pay for the gasoline.
Even if it's only an extra $100 a month or you know, whatever.
It is. Yeah, that's all very respectable.
Yeah, exactly. But it's astounding that there exist people making phenomenal amounts of money business. And this isn't a pipe dream. This is real.
When we bought this company, Michael, in April of 2007, it was only 14 months old, but because the concept was so good and the timing of the product was so good of an energy drink during this energy drink revolution was just perfect timing. In the first 14 months of business, this little upstart company with essentially two products, only one of which was an energy drink, they'd sold 12,800,000 of these pouches.
Uh-huh.
And then when we actually acquired the business in April, we introduced the canned drinks. And between the original startup and today, we've sold over 40 million energy drinks.
That's incredible.
So there's a lot of... kids to be made healthy with a healthy energy drink instead of this spike caffeine and sugar. There's a lot of income out there for people to earn. Again, you make your retail profit, you make your commissions on the wholesale volume of your group. You can make anywhere from $100 a week to $250 a week on your car bonuses when you cross your T's and dot your I's in this business. And then there's the awards booklet, which kids really love. You show a 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 15, 16-year-old kid these awards booklets and let them know they can get their platinum mountain bikes and they can get their own laptops and pool tables. And I think there's probably about 25 or 30 major gifts in there. We're talking about GPSs and Rolex watches and, again, the car bonuses and so forth. You can also turn these award points into more product. You can actually get extra product with them. And if you really look at this as a serious business, you will be the entrepreneur of your neighborhood or your office or whatever. It's going to change your life in such a positive way to know that no matter what happens at work, No matter what happens to your variable mortgage, it doesn't matter because you're in control. And again, like my dad said, you have 17 sources of income. And I know when things would get slow, he would jump in his rusted out Chevy pickup truck and he would drive all the way from central Missouri to Paducah, Kentucky, where there was a lead mine. And he would go for a month or two and he would mine lead as a lead miner. And he'd come back home waving the check for a couple of months' mortgage payments on the farm.
Oh, geez. So he had a whole, what did you say, 17 streams of income?
17 streams of income. And we used to junk also in those days. You know, today they call it recycling. We used to junk back then, and we'd go to other farms, and we would pay them $25 to get all the old equipment out of their ditches and things. And they thought, these guys are nuts. They're paying me $25, and they're hauling all this stuff out. Well, we would turn that $25 that we paid this guy for all this old junk in his ditches into $500 by separating out the metal into, you know, 5-gallon buckets of copper and brass and lead and that kind of stuff. On rainy days, that's what we would do.
So you were a
out.
Pioneer recyclist, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There was nobody else doing it back then in central Missouri. They thought we were really nuts. These are we were thought to be eccentric.
Wow. And how is it that you got introduced into the world of the income, you know?
Oh, network marketing?
Well, not so much network. Well, yeah, sure, network marketing, but residual income.
Oh, residual income.
Because we know you didn't always write books, you know.
Oh,
you
no,
get,
no,
you
no,
get
no.
Book royalties and you get tape royalties, but long before that, you knew about residual income, right?
Yeah, I was forced into that, Michael. I was a widower. Had four kids. The littlest one was a year and a half, and the oldest one was eight.
You were in your 20s, as I recall?
I was 32. And I was a full-time student. I was a full-time medical student, and I was, you know, working part-time teaching nutrition. And I actually got a insurance license, a real estate license. I went to Hamburger University because I thought I might buy some McDonald's. But they were all too labor-intensive. You know, you had to be there behind the counter.
Pretty expensive franchise fees, too, right?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And so, but it was just took too much time, and I had to be mom and dad to these four kids, and so I needed a stream of income that wouldn't cost me a lot of time. And so what I learned was, back then, it was actually 1982, which would be, what, 25 years ago. Is that right? No.
Yeah, 25 years ago.
25 years ago, yeah. Almost 28 years. I had actually a person knock on my door and said, here you're looking for some residual income. And they took me to a meeting, and it was a network marketing meeting, and I looked and said, well, gosh, I can hire a babysitter two nights a week and go put on these little meetings, which I did. And the average back then was it took 2 to 5 years to make $5,000 a month net profit. Well, back then that was a lot of money. That's like $20,000 a month today. And so it took me 6 months to do it because they said do two meetings a week. I did four. And I was able to do that when the kids were doing their homework and sleeping and that sort of thing.
So you did these meetings, and what did you do with these meetings?
I just educated people on the need to have another source of income and on health and, you know, how to be an entrepreneur and increase their lifestyle by starting their own home-based business and actually buying from their own store.
Did the guy who introduced you to this?
I'm sorry.
Did the person who introduced you to this concept? Did he tell you what he was making, and he said you can do this too, and it was impressive? No.
No. It was actually a young woman, and very lovely, but also a very successful businesswoman, and she was 10 years younger than me, and it was certainly not interested in the guy with, you know, widower with four kids. So it was all business, and. She brought me to this meeting and said, well, basically you can earn as much money as you want to. It usually takes 2 to 5 years, honestly, to make $5,000 a month. And here's what you need to do, step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And I said, fine, just stand out of my way. You've taught me what to do, and which I did, and became very successful with it. And I used to go to truck stops and sign up people, and I would go to rest stops and sign up people, and I'd go to trade shows and as well as do these little home parties. And as the kids got into high school and didn't need babysitters and things, I worked it harder and harder and harder and became really ultimately very successful at these home-based businesses. And literally over the years, not including my book and tape royalties, have made millions of dollars.
And it's true. It's true. You know.
And that actually led me into my other businesses, because you have to do something with the money to keep more of it so the government doesn't get it all. And so we got into the health spa and hotel business just based on the money we made from these little home-based businesses.
And you own a number of hotels now, right?
Three major hotels, major chains.
Uh-huh. And you're you own the chains?
Well, these are actually
franchisees. Franchisees,
yeah. These are not some little mom-and-pop bed-and-breakfast thing. These are very large hotels, and they're all part of major franchises.
And the plan is, do you plan on doing more of that? Or?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The goal is, over the next 10 years, to get about 10 more hotels, stretch them across the United States, because they actually act as a center for training for people for this energy drink business.
Sure.
And they have a place to go for meetings, and of course, we can have meeting rooms in all these hotels where they can have their meetings. We use them as warehouses so they can go there and pick up product, and they don't have to wait a long time for shipping.
Right. Interesting. Wow. So, yeah, you've got things, you've got it all figured out here.
Well, I don't know if I got it all figured out, but we have a plan.
Uh-huh.
And that's the main thing, that the mentor and sponsor of all new associates will train them, say, well, what is it you want out of this? Do you want $100 a week? You want $100 a month? You want $1,000 a month? What do you want the money for? You want a car? You want to supplement your mortgage payment? You want to make two mortgage payments a month? You want to start funds to put your kids through college? You just want to have a backup in case you don't get any more overtime? You know, or the variable mortgage is going to kick in 6 months, and you want to be prepared for that? Tell us how much money you want to make, what time frame you want to make it in, and we'll help you do it. It's just that simple.
That is simple. That's amazing. Yeah, everybody, I don't know how many times people actually sit back and reflect about what it is they really want out of life. You can actually quantify it if you just think about it. You know, everybody wants happiness, everybody wants health, you know, but you can be more specific than that. Just think about it. And what is it specifically you want that you don't have?
Exactly, and the kind of protection you want. Health insurance doesn't keep you healthy. It just pays for things when you mess up, right?
And it's very expensive. I mean,
yeah.
what I pay for health insurance is obscene. I want to have a high-quality plan, you know.
I can teach you have a high-quality plan and for a family of five for about $100 a month.
A high-quality plan? Well, we have nine more minutes of this program, Doc, and why don't we start now?
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, basically, what you have to do is get a high deductible. If you are mortgaging your home through a bank or you bought cars or trucks through a bank, you just go and get a $5,000 line of credit, which costs you no interest. There's no monthly payments until you pull the trigger and use it. You just put that letter or certificate in a drawer or a bank lock box. And don't use it to buy an ATV or something silly like that, or a new HDTV. You just save it, and you call your insurance man and say, I want a $5,000 deductible health plan. I'm paying $800 a month now for my family of five. And for a $5,000 deductible, it'll drop the payment down to about $100 a month. And you can use that extra $700 for your family. And you know, most people go 5, 10, 15, 20 years without the need of using it, and calculate it out. You'll save $20,000 by not paying that $700 a month for 10 years.
Yeah.
And so basically what
But
you
if you
is,
go to the doctor, you know, even once or twice a year, I mean, isn't that the doctor visits that are not covered by, you know, insurance that gives you maybe a $10 copay or something like that, it really adds up, right?
Sure. Well, this is where taking care of yourself, learning how to take care of yourself. This is, you have to take some responsibility here and be proactive. And we always like to have people believe in us being a kind of a Home Depot or an AutoZone kind of company. If you're willing to do some things yourself, you're not prepared to have the doctor cut all your hangnails for you. You know, you get a little scrape and you go in and get stitches. Well, you can just go to the store and for $2 you can buy a whole box of Steri strips or butterfly bandages instead of going in on a Christmas Day to get an emergency filling repair. When you have a filling dropout, you can go to a discount store and for $3.95 buy a filling repair kit for $3.95 in the same place you get your dental floss. And that temporary filling you put in yourself will last you 10 years.
you could put in a temporary filling?
Yes. It's written in the little brochure in that box is written in 8 languages. And it's written in the 5th grade reading level, so anybody can do it. It gives you all the equipment, all the materials. You drop a filling out. You don't need to go in, pay $800 for an emergency repair, and then go back for $1,300 for the permanent repair. You can do it yourself for $3.95, and that temporary repair will last you 10 years.
Here's a here's an email from Alan. Said I had has a question if there's still time. Not sure to phrase this, but there are effects that people have, like psychosomatic, or is there a placebo effect with this energy drink? Do folks believe it works, or it just does?
No, it just works. There is a science behind it, and this is where the first 5 chapters of the book, Energy Crisis, goes into how your body manufactures energy, the requirements for your body to do that, how it stores energy. The body has little batteries that stores energy, and when you have the need for energy, you can pull that energy in a millisecond. But obviously, like a battery, there's a limited amount, and unless you have more fuel going in and more of the cofactors necessary to initiate the energy process, you're in trouble. And that's America's in trouble, and this is where the energy drinks are great. And what I'd like to do, Michael, is give out a toll-free number if people
want
to call.
Please do, absolutely.
Join today. They can call 1-800-969-9272. That's 1-800-969-9272. The person answering the phone will be an extremely experienced person. They'll be able to walk everybody through this, and they will be your permanent mentor and trainer for nothing. So, again, that's 1-800-969-9272.
1-800-969-9272.
Get your free energy drink business, get your free website, and get your free training.
Great. Okay. So, yeah, we're in the finishing home stretch here of the program here, Doc. Got about 4 minutes left. Anything else you want to touch on before we take off here?
Yeah. What I would do is recommend that any parent that has kids still at home, whether they're 6 years old or 8 years old or 12 years old or 20 years old, they need to teach them, if nothing else, about owning their own business so they can get back most or all of their withholdings. When you're a single working person or even a married working person, you're renting a home, even if you have a couple of kids, you're not going to get much or any of your withholdings back. Whereas when you own your own business, even if it's a free business, a small energy drink business, as you said earlier, a lot of the things such as your computer, your various office machines, postage, your office furniture in your home, the space you use for your home office, on your monthly mortgage or rent is deductible, your home insurance, a percentage, whether it's owner's insurance or a renter's insurance, your utilities, all these things are deductible when you own your own business. Even if it's a free energy drink business, you get to deduct all these things so you can get back most or all of your withholdings. So it's worth it. Just, if nothing else, just to get back your withholdings is worth owning your own legitimate business.
You know, I feel that a lot of people are afraid to get into business because of the two main things that I've identified. I think people are afraid to get into their home base, into their own business because of the selling. Only 1 in 1,000 of us, if that many, are an effective salesperson. Or is an effective salesperson. And then, of course, there's the high cost of advertising, you know. And in this particular business, there's a very, very low overhead, almost no financial overhead. I mean, you want to buy a certain amount of the product that you're selling, you know, because how can you be representing a product if you don't use it?
You get your money back.
Exactly.
In the profit, and as you build your group, not only do you get your own profit when you sell it, but you also get the volume commissions. And this is very, very exciting. You don't have to be a salesperson because you have your website. All you have to do is get that website out into the community on your magnetic signs on your car, cards you hand out, samples you hand out with that little mini brochure and the pouches or the cans, and you go to various events and trade shows and flea markets, and you hand out samples and these mini brochures. And you don't have to be a salesman. Just sampling, I tell you, if I was a homeless person, I would pay the $45 a year to get a Costco or a Sam Club membership. I can go in there every day and get samples, and I could get enough food and samples to live. Well, so why does
Costco... Oh, that's true. That's right. I love to do that. I love to go on a shopping spree at Sam's Club or Costco just for the samples.
Yeah. Well, if you're a homeless, you know, you get your $45 once a year. You get to eat
and then
365 days a year for $45.
You can go broke saving money at Costco and Sam's Club, but you know. But anyhow, I love to do that, and I always do that. I go there for the samples, and I end up buying a few hundred dollars worth of stuff.
Well, why does Sam's Club and the Costco's hand out millions of dollars worth of samples?
Yeah, because they know it works. If people
works.
Like the samples, they're going to buy the damn stuff.
Exactly.
So,
they hooked me on a lot of things. I'll tell you, things that they have a thing out here that I've never seen before, goat cheese with cranberries and cinnamon on it. Now, who... They sampled that. Milan brought it home. I tried it. I got to have it.
Uh-huh.
Right? This is the greatest way to eat goat cheese is with cranberries and cinnamon on it.
Right.
I had that on some heated croissants this morning for breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, my mouth is watering right now even talking about it.
I'm totally upfront and honest about this. I have yet to give out a sample of Drink Act either in the canned beverage or in the powdered energy drink where they mixed it in front of me, and the person didn't say, I like this. I never heard one person say they didn't. I've heard, actually, there is one person, my next-door neighbor says, I don't particularly like the taste. Now, I got to be honest. There's only one person of probably several hundred that I've given samples to.
Oh, there's a commie in every bunch.
Okay. Hey, Doc, it's been great having you back
Thank
on the Saturday
so much,
special
Michael.
For a while. And, we'll look forward to hearing you on Dead Doctors Don't Lie and maybe back on the Saturday special one of these days, and definitely here in our area live and
in spring,
person.
Yep.
Yeah, hopefully even before the spring here.
Okay.
But thanks. Have a great Happy New Year to you
Michael.
And the family and the whole gang, okay?
To the whole KSCO gang, God bless.
Okay, here we go.
That's all, folks.
KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. We join Fox News in progress.
Washington, that's where you're looking at those blizzard warnings going into effect really 11 o'clock tonight until about 11 o'clock Sunday morning. Expect those winds to get really gusty.
Fox meteorologist Domenica Davis, the storm could affect holiday travel in that area. Federal health officials tried to track down passengers in 17 states. They sat near a woman with a rare strain of tuberculosis.
The flight was December 13th. The 30-year-old woman took American Airlines Flight 293 from New Delhi, India, to Chicago's O'Hare Airport. The Centers for Disease Control is saying it needs to talk with 44 passengers. The protocol is to test anyone seated in the same row and the two rows in front and behind the infected passenger.
Fox's Shannon Bream. He vetoed it twice. President Bush now signing the S-CHIP bill expanding children's health care coverage. And you're listening to Fox News Radio, Fair and Balanced.
Here's another encore presentation from Fox News Channel.
Larry Pesetto wants to know this. I want to know if there is a cheap, easy lead test I could conduct at home. I'm especially interested in toothbrushes.
Great question for Dr. William Marone. He's with us this morning, toxicologist. Doctor, is there a lead test at home you have on the market today?
There's a lead test available on the internet, and I want to make it very clear. They do not pay me, and I have no financial interest. It's called Lead Check. It's a swab, and there's a chemical impregnated in the swab, and when it's activated, if lead is present, there's a color change. Very simple.
Would a toothbrush be more concerned with other things because you're putting it in your mouth?
It would, especially if it's a child's painted toothbrush.
Yeah. Any other products other than a toothbrush?
Toys.
Can you check a toy at home, doctor?
Yes, you can. One of the lead check tests will work on toys.
Be listening for more encore presentations from Fox News Talk.
The search for a missing Chicago woman leading to a California man.
Detectives say 24-year-old Anu Solanki, who disappeared on Monday, was in contact many times that day with 23-year-old Karan Johnny and had been in contact with him for about a year, according to phone records. All of this news to Solanki's husband. Sheriff's officials say the two were only recently married, and he told them he doesn't know Johnny. Solanki's family says even if she left willingly, they're still concerned for her safety. Lisa Brady, Fox News Radio.
And authorities now saying Anu Solanki is fine. Family members arranging a meeting with her and law enforcement officials. The woman's brother says he doesn't care why she left. He's just happy she's alive. We did whatever we could to win. The mother of a six-year-old Dallas girl who won four tickets to a Hannah Montana concert in an essay contest. The girl's essay started with the line, "My daddy died this year in Iraq." Wasn't true. The girl may lose those tickets. The New England Patriots try to make history later today at Giants Stadium in New Jersey. With a win, they'll become the NFL's first team to go 16-0. The last undefeated team, the Dolphins, in 1972. Pats quarterback Tom Brady will also be trying to break the NFL record for TD passes. Randy Moss could also break a record for touchdown receptions. Hanging up his cleats for good this time after 21 years in the NFL, quarterback Vinny Testaverde deciding enough's enough. He is retiring after Carolina's season finale at Tampa Bay tomorrow. The 44-year-old signed by the Panthers October 10th when the team lost two quarterbacks to injuries. 4 days later, Testaverde became the oldest quarterback to win a game, starting six games this season for Carolina, completing 94 of 172 passes for five touchdowns. I'm Jay Metzler, Fox News Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. You're tuned in to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. It is Saturday, December 29th, 2007. Today's forecast calls for conditions to remain mostly rainy with highs around 58 degrees. Wind should be south-southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight you can expect a few showers, then lingering clouds overnight with lows around 43 degrees. And tomorrow calls for more rain with highs around 58 degrees. Tomorrow night it should clear up with lows around 34 degrees. Today's Monterey Bay boaters forecast, southeast winds 5 to 10 knots, becoming south in the afternoon. Wind waves 1 to 2 feet along with a northwest swell 4 to 9 feet at 12 seconds. And there is also a chance of rain out there on the Monterey Bay as well. Outside the station it is 50 degrees. The time is now 12:06 and it's time for Perspectives right here on AM 1080 KSEO Santa Cruz.